Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So glad you're with us. DA with you on a happy Labor Day. Back in the late 1800s, at the height of the Industrial Revolution, the average American worker busted his or her ass for 12-hour days and 7-day work weeks just for a basic living. There was a lot of child labor, overwork, crazy, unsafe, unhealthy working conditions, and the American worker revolted. Kind of like Tennessee Vols fans today. And they said, screw this. We need better conditions. And eventually, after the infamous Haymarket Ride in 1886 in Chicago, and a march on City Hall in New York City in 1882, there was finally some movement towards helping out the good old Joe Sixpack. And I don't know if they had six packs back in the 1880s, but the spirit was there. In 1894, another workers' march and rioting finally led to the creation of Labor Day. On June the 28th, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed it into law. Today, the first Monday in September, observed as a day off for the American worker. And so we here on the DA Show want to salute you, the American worker. And in doing so, we want you to take ownership over your jobs, your worst jobs, your smelliest jobs, your least compensated, unsanitary, most stressful jobs. On today, Labor Day, we salute you, the American worker. We say, have a beer or 1,000.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
And I am asking you to send me what your worst job ever was. What's the most humiliating or most disgusting job you ever held? Tweet it at me, DA on CBS. I'll read through those over the course of this morning's show. Already had a couple of real doozies. Makes me feel good that you guys have risen above the misery of some of these terrible, dirty jobs. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll delve into Oregon having the late lead and coughing it away against Auburn. A true freshman, Bo Nix, throwing the strike that ends up winning that game for Auburn and making many bettors happy. And a disaster at Rocky Top. But we start in the NFL, where LeSean McCoy is now going to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And for McCoy, it sounds, in my estimation, it sounds better than it's going to be for the Chiefs. Look, Kansas City was going to be an amazing offense anyway. Andy Reid is one of the best offensive minds in football. Patrick Mahomes, as we saw last year, can do everything, including the things that you didn't think were possible. And they've got weapons for the time being. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got Travis Kelce. They've got a lot of ammunition to go into this season. But the Bills cut LeSean McCoy, And that means that McCoy runs back to his old head coach in Philadelphia with Andy Reid. Now, I'm all for the Chiefs stockpiling more ammunition, more weapons, more talented pieces. And I'm all for Andy Reid getting back a guy that he used to coach 10 years ago, maybe knowing some of the ways that he can take advantage of LeSean McCoy. And McCoy's been a very productive player for a while in the NFL. But there's two things that worry me about this. Number one, you ain't getting LeSean McCoy from 10 years ago. Shady has a lot of mileage on those tires. Shady has been in a lot of games with a lot of carries, with some bad teams, and taking a lot of shots. I think there's a reason why the Bills were ready to move on. That's the first thing. You're not getting LeSean McCoy from 7 or 8 years ago. Number two, it's a lot of money for LeSean McCoy, no? This guy got a $4 million deal, three of that guaranteed for one season. I mean, the Chiefs just had $4 million for this year just lying around right before the season began. That kind of seems a little bit weird. I mean, LeSean McCoy's been in the league for a long time. He old, you know? And, I mean, I guess if it doesn't affect you in other places, that's one thing. If you don't have to make some hard financial decisions. But at 31 years old, I don't think I'd be giving LeSean McCoy $4 million. I mean, I think you're kind of lucky if you get anything legit out of McCoy. Now, I do believe that the Chiefs are better suited than anybody else to be able to get something out of McCoy at this point in his career. I do think that if you're going to trust anybody, it's Andy Reid and an offense that doesn't need LeSean McCoy. But last year, the guy played in 14 games. He ran for 500 yards. Ran for 500 yards, which is by far his lowest in his career, by far. And three touchdowns. Now, he's a year older, 31 years old. Are we really going to believe that he's going to get a lot out of that body this year? I don't think so. And I think that you just end up using him in spot situations, which is fine. But I thought that was kind of a lot of cash. Hey, but Patrick Mahomes is all about it. Mahomes tweeted about it. He's ready to roll. So giving him another weapon, all good. I just hope it doesn't mean that you got to cut back, take a haircut anywhere else. How about, by the way, the news today that Brian Hoyer this morning has agreed to a deal, the ex-Patriots quarterback. Brian Hoyer has agreed to a deal with a team that needs some quarterback help. The Indianapolis Colts. Okay, this sounds right on the surface. Sounds good on the surface. Colts have Jacoby Brissett. They bring in Brian Hoyer. Hoyer could be their backup, obviously. And when you have no more McCown left in the game, or you thought you didn't because they had both walked away and then suddenly one comes back, what you have to have is a Hoyer. You've got to be able to hand off from a McCown to a Hoyer somewhere in this league. We just can't have an NFL without one of those two holding a clipboard for like 10, 12 straight years. Hoyer was released by the Patriots. He lost the backup job to Jarrett Stidham. We'll get into that later on in the morning. My problem is, again, the money. Brian Hoyer just got a three-year deal worth $12 million, nine of that guaranteed. Who would have ever figured Brian Hoyer could get $9 million guaranteed anywhere, at any time? I mean, I know you just saved a bunch of cash, I guess, with Andrew Luck, but that's just burning money. That's just lighting it on fire. That is just going to the strip club and throwing 50s. Make it rain! We got Hoyer! Make it rain! How much you want? You get $1 million. You get $1 million. You get $9 million. Brian Hoyer just made $9 million guaranteed today on a three-year deal worth 12. That's got to be the highest paid backup quarterback in the league, right? Jarrett Stidham's probably making, I don't know, $5. Patriots probably negotiated him down to about $5. And Hoyer is making $12 million over the next 3 years, nine guaranteed. My goodness, good to be Brian Hoyer. I don't know if that's exactly much of a much of a vote of confidence for Brissett. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Gary's in Jacksonville this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, DA. Happy Labor Day, Chief.
Back at you, man. How you doing?
Thank you. As a longtime suffering Dolphin fan since the retirement of Dan Marino, I'm very excited to get two number ones and a number two. I know he had to give up, you know, a good left tackle, but the future I've never seen look so as bright for the Dolphins in a long time. Because the worst thing to be, you know, with Marino and the Dolphins, they were always 9-7, 10-6, and you're in the middle of the first round. To me, there's no difference between being 2-14 or 6-10. I mean, you've got to be 2-14 and get the higher pick. But to have two ones and two twos and all that cap room that they're going to have to be able to sign to improve the offensive and defensive lines. They've got a good secondary. They've got good skill position players, good tight end.
The plan is really good, Gary. The plan is really good here by the Dolphins, and here's what it is. The Dolphins have been caught in mediocrity for 20 years. They really longer than that. They've been caught with a foot in trying to be good, but a foot in, unfortunately, we're not that good. And no quarterback, and just kind of never-ending spinning of the wheels to be 7-9 or 9-7. And here's the setup, and I think it's a good setup. At some point, Tom Brady's going to retire. And at some point, the Patriots will have some type of vulnerability. The moment that Brady walks away or looks his age is going to be the moment that somebody else can win this division. And what the Dolphins are doing is they're loading up for the next generation and saying, let's stock up on draft picks, build a young team, and try to get it, nail it down with a core group of guys together at the same age, and they'll come up together. And who knows if this is purposeful with the Dolphins, but it would happen right around the time when Brady would retire or the Patriots would be vulnerable in that division. So I applaud the plan. And you got a lot for Laremy Tunsil. He's a very good offensive lineman. But for the Dolphins to get two ones and a two, which is more than the Bears gave up for Khalil Mack last year, the Dolphins just got more for Laremy Tunsil than the Raiders got for Khalil Mack. Look, I think you have to do that deal when you get that much collateral back. So the plan is good. Dolphins have a ton of picks in the first and second round of the next 3 years. Now you got to hit. And if the Dolphins hit, I mean, what happens at quarterback? Is it going to be Josh Rosen? Are you going to draft Tua or Herbert or Jacob Fromm after the season? Perhaps. But you've got to nail the quarterback and then nail the supporting parts. And Brian Flores has got to be the right head coach. And I don't mind this. I'm not going to sit here and kill the Dolphins for tanking because the plan makes sense. But now you got to execute the plan. Kaz is in Wisco here on CBS Sports Radio. Kaz, good morning, bud. How you doing?
Good morning, DA. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Just wanted to talk to you about the potential dark horses for the NFL this season.
Okay.
With Andrew Luck retiring recently and then these trades that you've been talking about with the Houston Texans, who is your choice for the dark horse of the league this year? I'll take your answer off in the air.
You got it, man. Thank you, Kaz. I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to get into this coming up later on in the hour because we haven't hit week one of the NFL season yet, so wanted to kind of talk about some of the teams that might not be on people's radar. So I'll do that coming up a little bit later on in the hour because I got a couple of teams here, but one just that I've been talking about is the Jacksonville Jaguars because historically speaking, we always have a team that finished in last place in the NFL in their division to come back the following year and win the division. And I think out of all of the last-place teams from last year, the Jaguars have the most potential to turn that around. It's a very winnable division. Andrew Luck retires. The Jaguars were really down last year when they were expected to be playoff contenders. They add Nick Foles, who I think adds an element of professionalism, execution, maturity to what they need in that locker room. And then the Jaguars are poised to be one of those last to first and make it the playoffs. But I got a couple other teams for you that we'll get to coming up later on in the hour. More on that. When we come back, we'll talk about Rocky Top and a miserable day on Saturday for Vols fans that had thought they had seen the worst, but maybe not. Also, in a Labor Day, I'm asking you, what are the worst jobs you've ever had? Boomer tweets, I work 10 feet down the line from live cows at a slaughterhouse. You'd be amazed how much happened to that 10 feet. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine working 10 feet down the line in a slaughterhouse. The types of things you see must truly haunt your dreams. That's as gory a horror flick as you're ever going to see. Oh, a lot of dead cow eyes staring at you. Guts everywhere. David tweets, worst job I've never had is Tennessee Volunteers season ticket seller. Mr. Big Steak sends me a picture of Smokey the Hound, Tennessee mascot, that says ESPN has reported that Smokey has entered the transfer portal. It's that kind of weekend for Vols fans, and Vols fans deserve better. I'll tell you why coming up next, and we'll sift through the carnage that was losing to Georgia State at home next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Something, get it out.
Don't say I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I don't have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Real tough guy who's right now doing laundry at his mother's house. Happy Labor Day to you, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And Sunday, the NFL on CBS schedule kicks off with two of the most dynamic quarterbacks of the game, Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, making their highly anticipated 2019 debuts. Check local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with the NFL today on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
We thank you so much for being with us on a Labor Day. We know that many of you are listening to the DA show because on a Labor Day, many local shows are not on in your area on your affiliate. So just a reminder, we are here every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. You can listen to us across this wonderful network of CBS Sports Radio affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, every single day, we're on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can always just stream us on your phone. It's pretty easy. Use the radio.com app. I use it a lot to listen to CBS Sports Radio when I'm out and about. It's really good. It's easy to use because also on radio.com, they include podcasts, full episodes of our show. So if you miss anything from the day before, from the week before, what have you, you can listen to it. Want to hear something again, you can do that as well. You can listen to it live or in podcast form using the radio.com app. You should also watch us at watchda.com on Labor Day, asking you your worst jobs ever. We'll read through some of those coming up, DA on CBS. But this Tennessee debacle is just so ugly. I mean, week one of the college football season is when teams that are building schedule bad opponents so that they can win easily and feel good about themselves. Essentially, week one, unless it's Auburn, Oregon, is supposed to be mainly a tune-up and a warm-up, especially for teams that are basically paying lower-tier FBS teams or FCS teams to come in. Do you realize that Georgia State began playing football in 2010, less than a decade old? They were paid $950,000 to go to Rocky Top. Tennessee paid them almost $1 million for the win. Oops. They were more than a 20-point favorite. And they lost. Got humiliated. They were a 26-point favorite. You got to realize just how bad Georgia State was. Georgia State was 2-10 last year. the end of the year in a 7-game losing streak. They played one Power 5 opponent, NC State. They lost by 34. They basically were blown out in the final 2 months of the season every week. Tennessee has been playing football for 135 years or something. Basically, Tennessee had a 120-year head start on football. They lost. The Vols gave up more than 200 yards rushing to Georgia State and two touchdown drives of more than 75 yards. And late in that game, that was a two-touchdown lead. It was a two-touchdown lead for Georgia State until a garbage time touchdown in the waning seconds by Tennessee to make it a one-score game. Essentially, Georgia State won by two touchdowns at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. Humiliating, embarrassing, shameful for the Volunteers.
I know a lot of Tennessee fans. This is as low as I've ever seen that program, because they feel like there is no escape. For 10 years, they've been in this fans of this program that has been the most dysfunctional program in college football, and it just keeps getting worse. It's like there is no rock bottom for Tennessee. It's like this never-ending pit of misery.
You throw the ball out there on the bubble, and we don't get a clean catch. We juggle it. They get a short field. We have an opportunity to hold them to a field goal. We don't. They punch it in. We get a 3rd and 1. We don't get a 1st down on the 3rd and 1. You know, we end the half with a ball on the 3-yard line. You know, there's hidden points out there.
That was Jeremy Pruitt talking about all the things that they didn't do well in that game. That was Barrett Salee, college football insider for CBS Sports, who joined us in hour number one. You know, I had the great pleasure of going to Rocky Top a couple of seasons ago, invited down there by the Tennessee Athletic Department to see a game at Neyland Stadium, and it was always a bucket list item for me. I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I loved being part of Vol Navy and being on the boats, being on the river, and going in and seeing 95,000 people wearing orange and white. I love the pageantry. I love the entire atmosphere. It was amazing. It's an amazing part of the country. It's an amazing fan base, and they deserve better than this. And, you know, I look at Jeremy Pruitt, and I thought that they had really shown some signs of life last year. Remember, Tennessee beat Auburn last season, and they had beaten Kentucky as well when Kentucky was a top 15 team. But there were signs that things were problematic late in the year last year when they got housed by Mizzou and then by Vandy. And when you get pummeled by Mizzou and Vandy at the end of the year and give up 88 points between the two games, there was little worry. And then Saturday is totally unacceptable. The whole thing was such a debacle. And the problem was, watching that, you just felt like Tennessee had no guts. It was like once Georgia State was in the game late, and once Georgia State scored late in that game, it was like the light went out inside these Vols players and maybe the coaching staff as well. And by the end of it, they were getting worked on the offensive line and the defensive line. In the trenches, they were getting worked by Georgia State, worked by 2-10 Sun Belt team. It just felt like there was quit in there. I mean, there was just no other way to define it. Watching it, I'm going, this is outrageous. And Georgia State got enlivened and emboldened, but it should have never happened that way. And for Pruitt, I'm sorry, you're now on job watch, because year one, okay, building block, you got to give him a couple of seasons. He came with good credentials, having coached under Nick Saban. But you can't end last year getting thrashed by Mizzou and Vandy and then start this year. The entire offseason you have to prepare for Georgia freaking State, and you get pounded late in that game at home. Simply inexcusable. You know, for Pruitt, I had hopes, but this changes everything. That was totally unacceptable. And for Vols fans, yeah, the cycle of misery continues. He's got to pull off some big wins this year to erase the stink. But that's arguably the Vols' worst loss ever. That really is. I know that sounds like hyperbole because they've been playing football for like 130 years. That is arguably Tennessee's worst loss ever. They're a 26-point favorite at home. They're They're opening up the season against a team that went 2-10 last year from the Sun Belt, and they nearly lost by 2 touchdowns. They got to go to the Swamp. They've got Georgia coming in there. They've got to go to Alabama. Well, what's going to happen in those 3 games? 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Dolphins are getting testy about being called tankers. Also, Hugh Freeze, not Huge Freeze, Hugh Freeze doing something that Huge would have done, coaching from a bed. And Oregon and Auburn, what happened in that one? That's all coming up next as part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
We should start calling you Chris DeVosa.
For your family jewels. So this trimmer won't nick or snag.
An anti-chafing ball deodorant.
So this trimmer won't nick or snag.
We should start calling you Chris DeVosa.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And you can always watch the show. How about this? Watch the DA show anywhere on any device. All you need is your phone or your tablet. Go to watchda.com. It's live in sparkling Technicolor.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that to watch at watchda.com. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. On a Labor Day, I am asking you, what's your worst job ever? Worst job you ever had? The most embarrassing, the most disgusting, the least sanitary, the least compensated. The GOAT tweets, not Tom Brady, being asked to clean a porta potty when I was 14 working at Mickey D's. I quit right on the spot.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Lonnie tweets, DA, my worst job was working at a truck stop right off a major interstate highway. I was a porter. I cleaned showers and bathrooms. I still have nightmares about the things I had to clean up. Mad respect for all of those that have had that job. That's a dark place. The shower at an interstate truck stop is a dark place. I have never showered at a truck stop, which is why I still have my innocence. But I've definitely spent some time at truck stops. That sounds really weird. Because my family, when I was growing up, this sounds even weirder. We were the classic Griswold family vacation. My dad, we had a 1990 Chevy Suburban. And me, my brother, my sister, every summer, my dad loved to drive, load up the Suburban. We're driving across country. We're driving here. We're driving there. And we spent a lot of time at truck stops because you might imagine you got to gas up a 1990 Chevy Suburban pretty often. That's not exactly a Prius, okay? So we're spending a lot of time off of interstates and making our way through a lot of raunchy, gross truck stops, killing time as Dad fills up the Suburban and eating some meals there as well, you know, getting that Salisbury steak on at a few truck stops and using the restrooms when needed. And the things I saw being dispensed from those machines on the wall at truck stops across this country were pretty scarring for a young DA. You know, pretty scarring. When 12-year-old DA is walking into truck stops and you're like, whoa, what, that's flavored? Oh, huh. What's that used? And where do you stick? That goes where? And I can buy it for a quarter? Ugh, what's this smell in here? Oh, dear. I could only imagine having to clean the shower. It's a dark place. So I applaud anybody that is employed to do that, no doubt. Justin C. tweets, I was pizza delivery for Pizza Ranch. It was just awful. That's amazing because it just sounds like a Pizza Hut ripoff. And I'd love to know the menu at Pizza Ranch. That sounds like really top-notch, authentic Italian artisanal pizza right there, Pizza Ranch. Because when I think of the best type of pizza, I think about a ranch. I think about making some type of authentic New York City-style pizza on an open ranch with horses and cowboys. Elton tweets, most humiliating career moment, first day as a house painter, delegated to sanding and cleaning brushes, and I got scolded for whistling a song on the radio. That job lasted about one day.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
So send us your worst jobs ever, DA on CBS on Twitter. First day or any day, DA on CBS. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, as the Dolphins have traded away Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. They were already probably one of the worst teams of the NFL. Not probably, definitely. They're also starting Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is very curious because wouldn't you want to assess Josh Rosen considering you're going to have one of the top three picks in the NFL draft and there's three potential franchise-altering quarterbacks? But Flores gets a little testy, a little sensitive when people accuse him of tanking.
This game means a lot to me, so I wouldn't disrespect the game with that. So, I mean, that's, again, no, we're not. We're going to try to win every game. I think that's disrespectful to even to say that. Or, you know, these guys work extremely hard. They've done that all summer. They've done it. They do it all spring. They'll continue to do so. And it's heartening to hear people talk about it to even say that. I mean, for a guy who respects the game as much as the game is not for me, it's just when people say that, it's shouldn't say it.
But look, it's not Brian Flores' call to trade Laremy Tunsil. That's the front office. It's not Brian Flores' job to decide on what compensation they want to get. I mean, that is all above his head. And the Dolphins, I don't blame them here. They had a buyer that was going to give them two number ones and a number two for Laremy Tunsil. The fact that they were able to get more for Laremy Tunsil than the Raiders got for Khalil Mack tells you that that's kind of a deal that you can't say no to. Are they trying to lose? I don't know. Are they trying to win? Well, they're trying to stockpile draft picks to have an entire core group of guys come up at the same time, and I don't blame them. I think this is the right move for a franchise that has been 25 years of mediocrity. I don't see how you can blame them for this. So are they trying to tank? I mean, I just think that that's screwy, dopey stuff where media members want to get all bent out of shape because that becomes a narrative. Oh, they're trying to lose. They're trying to tank. Look, the fact is you need to have a game plan. And the Dolphins have been mediocre to below mediocre for 25 years. You know what? Switch it up. And if that means stockpiling draft picks, you have to use them correctly, but to build a core group of guys that come up together and then perhaps then suddenly you are the next Cleveland Browns where you've got a lot of young talent and you find a franchise quarterback and now there's expectations, that's the right move. I mean, if in 3 or 4 years you were to say, yeah, the Dolphins will be the next Cleveland Browns. Unknown, inexperienced, but big expectations and a chance to turn around the franchise, then that's the right move. So just stop it with everybody claiming they're trying to lose. Maybe they're just trying to execute a game plan, a business plan, and it's not up to Brian Flores anyway. He's just there to coach on Sundays and obviously coach day-to-day football, but that's not the long-term business plan right now for the Dolphins. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work, because God knows that owner, Stephen Ross, rarely does anything work very well, but it's at least a business plan. You know all about Huge Freeze here on the DA show, but how about Hugh Freeze? Hugh Freeze is the head coach of Liberty, and he was coaching on Saturday night from a hospital gurney. He has been dealing with a staph infection, unable to be on his own feet, unable to be on the sideline as Liberty hosted Syracuse. So instead, Hugh Freeze did something that Huge would normally do. Try to do his job from bed. He laid in a hospital bed from the coach's box and coached and called plays laying down. Here was Hugh Freeze.
They can't call most of the third downs because, you know, he's been out there and, you know, worked with those third down plans. You know, and then defensively, I was just, I would tell Scott from time to time what I saw them trying to do on third downs. And, you know, that's what I did up here tonight. And it felt different. It's odd that I'm not down there talking to officials and calling timeouts when we need to. And maybe I had a hard time kind of finding the clocks, too, you know, from here. I didn't have a game clock here that I could look at. It was kind of hard to see it over there. So it was a little different. I don't like it near as well as being down there eye to eye with our players. And hopefully I'll be back down there very, very soon.
I mean, what are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing here? I know that Hugh wants to get off on the right foot. This is his first day, first game coaching his new program. But when there was the scene in the locker room where all the guys are taking a knee and it feels like it's any given Sunday or Ballers or Friday Night Lights and they're all taking a knee and they're looking to their coach for inspiration and they're looking at a flat screen TV on the wall as their coach lays in a bed a couple of floors up, give them a pep speech. It's like, what? This is so ridiculous. This is so utterly ridiculous. It reminded me of Charlie's Angels, where they're getting their marching orders from somebody that they don't see the face of. They don't ever see. It's like, what does Charlie look like? Who knows? He just gives us the marching orders on a big flat screen TV or on a phone. Like, that's what Hugh Freeze basically was, Charlie's Angels for Saturday's game. And, oh, by the way, they got shut out. I mean, was that worth it? Was it worth it to be suffering from a staph infection on a hospital gurney coaching from the press box? The whole thing was just, what are we doing here? And finally, Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Oregon Ducks, being criticized for mismanaging the game time, and timeouts in the loss to Auburn.
The wrong personnel was in, and when we got the personnel straightened out, they weren't quite sure as to who was going to do what. But we don't blame them. We take it as a coaching staff. That's on us.
So that was Mario Cristobal, and let's flip the script now to the other side. And this was Bo Nix. As the true freshman comes down the field in the waning seconds and throws the game-winning touchdown.
16 seconds in the fourth. Nix steps up. He throws to Williams. He's got it! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Bo Nix to Seth Williams.
Wow!
9 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter.
In all fairness, you know, it was his first start. He went against one of the better teams in the country in this kind of environment. You know, he did some really good things, but when the game was on the line, he found a way to win the game.
So that was Gus Malzahn, and that was Auburn Tigers radio on the call. First of all, on Bo Nix, that's a true freshman in a big spot. Granted, it's a neutral site, but playing against a top 15 team at Oregon, and you got a lot of pressure down late. And Nix, who was very inconsistent early and had thrown a couple of bad passes, ends up going for the gusto with 9 seconds to play. They were already in field goal range, so it looked like Auburn was lining up to kick the game-winning field goal anyway. But Bo Nix goes end zone for the dagger, and that's a great throw and a gutsy decision, and he put it on the money. That's just a big-time play, and it really pays dividends for Gus going with Bo Nix as a true freshman there. So good win by Auburn. But for Oregon, there is a lot of criticism on Cristobal here. I mean, Oregon called a timeout before the first play of the game. How does that possibly happen? You're opening up the season. You have 7 months to decide how that first play is going to go. You call a timeout. Plus, you have back-to-back timeouts before 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you're not draining clock. You're running a kind of pseudo hurry up late in the game when you have the lead And Auburn ends up throwing the game-winning strike with 9 seconds to play, which is easily 9 seconds you could have drained off the clock. Cristobal has, I think, a lot of things that you like about a head coach. And certainly last year, there were some things that Ducks fans were happy, kind of arrow pointed up. And this year, big expectations. I do believe they're the best team of the Pac-12. Although what we just saw from Utah to open up the season made you believe that maybe Utah is. But for Oregon and Cristobal, he's got to take this one on the chin. And he's got to take the responsibility because there was a lot of ways they could have won. And they punted on all of them in this game. I want to get to a couple of teams of the NFL that I think could be dark horses in hour number three. And when we come back as well, Melvin Gordon and the Chargers. The Chargers basically telling him to take a hike. Will he? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.